Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cambodia Legal and Tax. I'm Chad, and in today's episode, we're talking about a topic that's relevant to both employers and employees, how employment contracts come to an end under Cambodian labor law. We'll be looking at notice periods, compensation, and some common mistakes that can become very costly. Joining me once again is Zoe. Welcome back.
Thanks, Chad. It's great to be back. You're right. Termination of employment is one of the areas where we see the most confusion, and unfortunately, it's also where disputes often arise.
Absolutely. So let's start with the basics. Notice periods actually depend on the type of employment contract, don't they?
They do. The first thing we need to know is whether the employee is working under a fixed duration contract, or FDC, or an undetermined duration contract, which we usually call a UDC. The rules are different for each.
Let's start with FDCs. Some employers assume that once the contract reaches its end date, the employment simply ends automatically. Is that always true?
Not necessarily. If the contract is for 6 months or less, then yes, it can end without any notice. But once the contract lasts longer than 6 months, the employer must give at least 10 days notice before it expires. And if the contract is longer than 1 year, that notice period increases to 15 days.
So even though the end date is already written into the contract, notice can still be required.
Exactly. And there's another important point that employers sometimes overlook. If they forget to give the required notice before the contract expires, the contract may automatically renew for the same duration.
That sounds like an easy mistake to make, and potentially an expensive one.
It certainly can be. Missing a notice deadline could mean the employment relationship continues much longer than the employer intended.
Now let's switch to UDCs. How are the notice rules different?
For UDCs, the notice must be given in writing, and the length of the notice depends on how long the employee has worked for the company. If the employee has worked for less than 6 months, the notice period is 7 days. Once they've worked between 6 months and 2 years, it increases to 15 days. Employees with between 2 and 5 years of service are entitled to 1 month's notice. If they've worked between 5 and 10 years, they receive 2 months' notice. And for employees with more than 10 years of service, the notice period is 3 months.
So the longer someone stays with the company, the more time they're given to prepare for the transition.
Exactly. The law recognizes long service and provides greater protection accordingly.
What happens if an employer doesn't provide the required notice?
Then the employer can't simply ignore the requirement. Instead, they must pay the employee the wages and benefits that the employee would have received during the notice period.
So it's not just salary, it's the full package.
That's right.
And there's another employee benefit during the notice period that's worth mentioning.
Yes. During the notice period, employees are entitled to 2 paid days off each week to look for new employment. It's a practical measure that helps employees transition into another job.
Now, are there situations where notice isn't required at all?
Yes. There are a few important exceptions. If the employee is still on probation or working as an intern, notice generally isn't required. The same applies if the employment ends because of serious misconduct. And notice may also not be required in cases of force majeure, where circumstances make it impossible for the employment relationship to continue.
So in those situations, the contract can end immediately.
Exactly.
Now let's move on to compensation, because this is probably what many listeners are most interested in. Suppose an employer terminates an employee without a valid reason. What happens?
Again, it depends on the type of contract. For a fixed duration contract, the employee is generally entitled to receive any unpaid wages, payment for unused annual leave, a severance payment equal to 5% of the wages earned during the contract, and damages. Those damages are usually based on what the employee would have earned if the contract had continued until its agreed expiry date.
So, terminating an FDC early without proper grounds can become quite expensive.
Absolutely.
And what about employees under a UDC?
For a UDC, the employee would normally receive any unpaid wages, payment for unused leave, payment in lieu of notice if the required notice wasn't given, any outstanding seniority payments, and damages, which are generally linked to the employee's seniority payments.
So there are quite a few different payments employers need to keep in mind.
Exactly. It's important to calculate each entitlement carefully.
Now let's look at the other side of the coin. What if the employee is dismissed because of serious misconduct?
In that case, the employee's entitlements are much more limited. They would normally receive only any unpaid wages and payment for unused annual leave. They wouldn't be entitled to severance or damages.
So, serious misconduct significantly changes the outcome.
It does.
One final scenario. What happens if a company goes bankrupt?
Bankruptcy is treated differently because the termination isn't based on the employee's conduct. Employees are still entitled to receive their unpaid wages and payment for unused leave. If they're employed under an FDC, they may also receive the 5% severance payment. For employees under a UDC, notice compensation and seniority payments may still apply.
But damages, generally, wouldn't be payable.
That's correct. The reasoning is that bankruptcy doesn't imply any fault on the employee's part or damage to their professional reputation. It's simply the result of the employer's financial situation.
That's a really important distinction. So today's takeaway is that ending an employment relationship isn't simply a matter of saying goodbye. Employers need to think carefully about notice periods, compensation, contract type, and the circumstances surrounding the termination.
Exactly. Taking the time to understand these rules can help employers avoid unnecessary disputes and ensure employees receive the protections they're entitled to under Cambodian labor law.
Zoe, thanks again for joining us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you, Chad. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you to everyone listening. We hope today's discussion has helped clarify how employment termination works in Cambodia. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to join us next time as we continue exploring key legal and tax issues affecting businesses and employees in Cambodia. Until next time, thanks for listening to Cambodia Legal and Tax.